3 John. If you go all the way to the back of your Bible to 3 John. 3 John. We've been through 1 John, and we've gotten through 2 John last week, and now we're in 3 John. These are wonderful little letters. We term them more of an epistle, but letters that he wrote to, in particular, churches, but also some individuals that he had led to the Lord or discipled or seen them grow in grace. Now he's writing back to them, and he's encouraging them, as we saw in 2 John. He wrote with an encouragement to abide in the truth, walk in the truth. And again, as we continue tonight in 3 John, wonderful, wonderful letter written. Notice verse 1, he says here, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So right out the bat, notice with me tonight, he talks to this individual, Gaius, a wonderful person who has stayed faithful and true to God. But notice this, he says, "whom I love in the truth." And the truth. And there are friendships that we ought to have that are based on the truth. You know, we have friends and you have coworkers and other people that aren't necessarily saved or not believers, and we ought to be kind and sweet and nice and all of that, we know. But the most precious friendships you ought to have and the ones you ought to be cultivating are the ones that are in the truth. Now, we find those primarily in the church, don't we? We find those you have friends and family maybe across the country that are strong believers, and you ought to cultivate that and minister to those people. But notice he says, "I love you in the truth." The truth is what ought to bind us together. The truth is what ought to keep our friendship strong, and we know that. Be very careful about who you allow into your home. Some good people, some good friends, some good coworkers, whatever. And you do want to invite them and be a blessing to them, but be careful because their influence will rub off. Their influence will come, and we know that, all of that. So again, the truth there, notice that. He says, now verse number 2 is very interesting. Notice this is the only time really in Scripture that the health is mentioned, physical health. Now, Paul talks to Timothy and he tells him, as you recall, he says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." And I say amen to that, don't you? He says, "Timothy, be careful. Don't work out too much." I got that one. That's easy. But he says, what, godliness? And he goes on and on. We ought to enhance our godliness. You know that. But notice here, he says, "that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Our soul is very important, and we ought to be taking inventory of our soul, what the health of that is. Our walk with God, right? Our time in the Word, our time in prayer, how are we doing? All of that. But notice that he talks about our health. I don't need to hit on that because I don't really want to. But you know that. Our physical health is very important. We ought to be taking care of ourselves. We ought to be careful about what we take in. And to be careful about what we allow. And you may be a big fast food junkie and love fast food. I enjoy fast food from time to time. And isn't it so convenient? You just pull up and you say, "I'll have this and that." But you don't feel too good afterwards, but it is convenient. I'm joking, of course. But he talks about the health, and I want to encourage you with that. Be cautious and careful. Many people have had to step outside of the race that they run for the Lord because of health reasons. And there are some things we can't control. Obviously, we know that. Cancers and other things. But we ought to be taking care of ourselves. Okay, I'm done with that. Let's move on. Verse 3, "for I rejoiced greatly." No, by the way, I wanted to mention this. Have you ever seen the apple cider vinegar? I think it's Bragg's. Have you ever had that stuff? On the back of it, you turn that bottle around, it's in a yellow bottle. You buy it at Sprouts and other, I think Walmart has it. You turn it around. Well, he has this verse on it, 3 John 2. And anyways, I saw that the other day. I thought that was kind of cool. And you ought to look it up. Now, you're going to go look that up now, aren't you? And it's that apple cider vinegar. Anyways, he says him and his wife were Christians. And on the back of the bottle, it says extended life specialists or something like that. And then they died. Okay, so extend much life. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. Okay. Verse 3, "for I rejoiced greatly when," what happened? "The brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou," notice this again, "walkest in the truth." As he says in 2 John, walking, we talk a lot, we need to walk the truth. Everyone's a talker, aren't they? Oh, I'm a good Christian. I do a lot of things. I'm real faithful. I love the Lord. I read this. I did that. Where are the people that are walking the truth? See, that's where we ought to be careful. You know that. He says, but when they came and told me of that, that rejoiced my heart. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I think that's true. I truly believe that. I believe that when we one day, if the Lord does not return in our lifetime and we were to live a ripe old age, Lord willing, we are in our basic, on our bed there, and they're saying, well, you don't got much time left. I would want children, grandchildren, whoever it is around me, and know they're walking in truth, right? That's a great joy that we ought to have. And not that they're making money, although that's good, not that they're real healthy and that's good and they have all these things. No, that they walk in truth. That ought to be the great joy of our lives. And seeing that, knowing that. Anyways, verse 5, beloved, he said, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Faithfulness. One thing you know you can do is be faithful. It doesn't take not rocket science, okay? It doesn't take a big theologian. You can be faithful. Just be faithful. And God cannot use us and bless our church if we don't show up. It's as simple as that, right? God says, I want to bless you. I want to give you this. I want to do that in your life. You know, I thought about this. If we would have quit a year and a half ago, where would we be, right? It ain't working out. You know what? Forget it. Let's just throw in the towel. You know, we can't get the church going. You just can't get the building built up. We're not going to be able to. The county won't allow us and give us the permit that we need, right? If we would have quit, where would we be? But we didn't quit. We stayed faithful. We kept going. Every one of you stayed faithful, kept going. And God said, okay, well, I'm going to bless that. But he says, faithful. Being faithful. Whatsoever you do, notice that. You do faithfully. Anything in your life ought to be faithfulness. Verse 6, they've borne witness, he says, of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake that went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such as that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Just some stuff he's saying about being helpers and unifying together. Now notice he shifts gear in verse 9, and he says, I wrote to the church. But Diotrephes, here's the second fella, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now again, there's another time in the New Testament where the word preeminent is mentioned. That's Colossians 1. And it's talking about he, referring back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ought to have the preeminence in everything that we say and do. In our church, Jesus Christ ought to be preeminent in everything we do. Why are you doing? Well, we want to bring glory to Christ. We want to make sure of that. If there's something that we're doing or not doing, whatever the case is, we're seeking that. This man, this individual, Diotrephes, is seeking preeminence. And because of that, he says, now, John, you're not welcome. Now, why? Because John emphasized the preeminence of Christ, right? John said, Christ is the one we're going to lift up and glorify, and I'm the disciple in whom he loved. I'm the one that sat there at the table, at the Last Supper, if you will, on leaning on him and asking him, Lord, what's next? Lord, what should we do? Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? And he says, I don't like that. I want to be in authority. I want to be the one that has the preeminence. And we see and understand when a church lifts up Christ and makes him preeminent in all that we do, that church will be blessed. He says, verse 10, wherefore, because of that, because he won't receive us, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. He says, not even satisfied with that trash talking, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, here's the thing. Diotrephes has no authority to do that at all. He has no authority to cast people out of the church. That is not his responsibility or his authority. And he's superseding or usurping his authority, the Bible term, over the leadership of the church. And he's saying, now, I'll tell you who can come in, and I'll tell you who can't go, and I'll tell you who we need to get rid of. Again, we're coming back to this, and we've been praying this, the Holy Spirit would lead. And Lord, you bring the people you want us to have. And he's brought us some very sweet people. I'm so thankful. And we say, Lord, keep away the people you don't want us to have. You know, some churches just say, Lord, bring us anybody. You know, fill these chairs up. Well, we've got to be careful. right? Because we don't want just anybody. We want the people the Lord brings to us. We're going to reach people, see them saved, and disciple them and all of that. But notice he's saying malicious words. He's talking trash about them. Mean-spirited things. And he won't even receive the brethren. Forbids them. Casts them out. All the things. Notice this. In verse 11, he clarifies some things. Beloved, he says again, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, that's a little backhanded statement there. He's calling Diotrephes evil, and rightly so. But he says, fellas, follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. And John makes it so clear, easy to understand for us, doesn't he? 1 John, 2 John, it's so easy. He makes it real simple, brings that fruit way low so we can grasp it. He says, do you understand? The people said, yes. He said, that's what I want to clarify to you. Now, not soon after, we understand John is going to be cast out and really imprisoned on that Isle of Patmos, where he's going to receive the great revelation from Jesus Christ himself, right? Which we get the book of Revelation, and it's an encouraging book. But he gives that to John. Now, John, again, is writing to these people, but we see here how God used John in a great way to propagate his truth and lead him. Now, notice this third individual that's mentioned in verse 12. Again, an easy way to remember this. This is 3 John, and there's three individuals mentioned. Something to help you there. Demetrius, excuse me, hath good report of all men and of the truth. Yea, and we also bear record. And you know that our record is true. And so we see another person here, Demetrius. Good report of all men, of the truth itself. He identifies with the truth, doesn't he? He says, people say, you know the truth? Yeah, I know the truth. They identify with that. We have of the same spirit. They are of the same spirit, walk in the spirit. When you meet an individual that says they're saved, well, usually in the first 5 to 10 minutes, you can tell if they're truly saved. I mean, there's an identity there, isn't there? They have the Spirit, you have the Spirit. We're not of the same personality. We don't like the same things. We may disagree on a lot of stuff, but we know there's an identifying mark there. Demetrius was one of those. And he says, you have report, good report of all men. Everywhere we go, we hear. Have you heard of Demetrius? Well, we talked to Diotrephes, and man, that guy's a pain in the neck, man. And they say, yeah, but have you talked to Demetrius? Oh, yeah. And you know that's how it is. When there's a cantankerous little ding-dong in the church somewhere, there's some good people. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? And it's so sad sometimes, isn't it, that he gets all the attention. The guy that runs his mouth, the lady that, you know, makes a big scene and causes problems. Unspiritual people, they usually get all the attention, and they cause a bad name on that church there. But he makes note of this. Now, Demetrius, you have a good report. One, of the truth itself, we also bear record. Notice, and you know that our record's true. He says you have a good report of all men, but we also bear record. We also know that you're a good man of the truth. We also know that, Demetrius, and you keep going. And he begins to close out here. He says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. He said, I'd much rather be with you and see you face to face. I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thee, the friends by name. Isn't it wonderful to think about? We have friends in the ministry. We have friends in the church. I hope that the church never becomes a drudgery for you to that you come and go, well, we got to do church again. Well, I got to go talk to those people, those know-it-alls, you know, those stuck-up people. No, I pray that's never something that you feel. And if it is something there, then, hey, work on that. Hey, is it me? Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to do something. And you think through this. Now, again, he says we have friends and the friends salute you. Now, let me ask you here just by some concluding remarks here. There's three individuals. What would you classify yourself as in this? Are you one that's a helper? Is there one that's bringing joy to other people? Are you bringing joy to the spiritual leader of the church? Man, thank God they're here, you know. I can't tell you how encouraging it is just for you to show up, you know, just show up. If you don't feel well or the kids aren't feeling well, you're sick, please stay home. That's fine. But I'm saying just to show up. The faithfulness, what an encouragement it is to that. I talked to a pastor friend a while back, and he was mentioning to me, he said, "Now, Brother Tim, we've lost some people in the church, and they've left." And he says, "I don't even know why they left. I don't know what, they didn't even tell me. They just left." And he said, "I tried to call them and contact them. They said, they didn't say anything. Just silent, gave him the cold shoulder." And he said, "That's what hurts me the most, you know, that they're not faithful. They just left." And you think about how encouraging it is, we stay faithful, we stay focused, and we stay fruitful for the things and in the things of God. Are you a Gaius? Are you one walking in truth, one bringing joy, one that is rejoicing with others? And I know you're not, but there are some Diotrephes out there. Well, one of the marks of them is they love to have the preeminence. They love to have the control of everything. I want to control everything, you know. And we know that. Marriages fall apart because lack of control. Relationships fall apart because one person wants control and they can't have it. And you know, when we follow the Bible order, it helps us, doesn't it? There's God, one, in your relationship with God. Secondly, should be your spouse, your marital relationship. Thirdly, should be your children, your grandchildren, whatever the case would be. And then below that, you know, is work and extended family and other things. We keep that in order. We allow God to work. Now, in the church, we know it's Jesus Christ. He's at the head of the church. He loved the church, gave himself for it. He must have the preeminence in everything we say and do. We know that. Under that, he's put in place an under-shepherd or a pastor, basically a manager of the church. The church does not belong to pastor. I don't own any part of it, right? Usually a pastor will work for next to nothing, doesn't have much of an income there. But he's an under-shepherd. He's a manager. God, if he's a Spirit-filled man, he'll be directed by God, and he'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and he's walking close to the Lord for the direction and discernment of the church. And then under that, obviously, you know, down the line. But there's order there. Now notice Diotrephes got it out of order. Well, I know it's this way, and I know the Lord this, and I know the pastor, and I know these, but I'll tell you what we need to do. And it's so such a sad, sad day when we have people dividing the church and causing disunity. And then thirdly, are you a Demetrius? He has a good report of all men and of the truth itself, and those around him bear record. What a testimony he has. Testimony of an individual, a great testimony that bears witness of the truth, walks in the truth. Now notice in these epistles that John wrote, he talks consistently about truth. John, 1 John, you can know the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, right? 2 John, beware, there's false truth out there. There's people trying to come into your home and into your church. Infiltration to try and what? Take away the truth. And 3 John, he emphasizes this again. Men and individuals that walk in the truth, lead by example, and promote the truth. Wonderful opportunity for us to take tonight and look at these individuals here. All right. And so we see here, as he emphasizes truth, are you walking in truth? Are you leading others to the truth? Again, can I encourage you with that? Don't forget about inviting your one person to church, right? If you have a friend you'd like to invite them to church. And we're trying to invite, us adults are trying to invite somebody. And if you can't think of anybody, I mean, bring an animal. We'll take anybody. No, I'm kidding. We need to put a little pen out back, don't we? A little corral, do something. We could bring some animals. I'm kidding with you. But please, again, and I came in Monday. I think it was Monday morning. Oh, I won't move too much, brother. And I heard something over here. And I came over here and I straightened some things up and then I was going to pray. And I heard something over here moving around. And I look over. There's a snake over here, right there. And it was about this long, but it looked like a rattlesnake, and I got close. It wasn't. It was just a garter snake, and I said, "Oh, I'll leave it alone." So I kind of gave it the kick. I kicked it. Get out of here. Well, that thing turned around and came this close to my foot, tried to bite my foot, and then it started hissing. Have you ever heard a snake do that? That's creepy. And it's like, and it wouldn't leave me alone. You know, I'm like, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Satan's in here." Anyways, I kicked it a few times, and it finally went out the door, and I don't know what happened to it, but anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, we'll take anybody. God bless that snake. We'll pray for it. But please continue to invite your individual again. Okay, we'll stop there. But are you walking in the truth? And look at these examples. Listen, by the way, these are just normal people. They're not some super spiritual, super Christian people. They're just people like us. Gaius, Demetrius, hardworking people. They had a full-time job. They worked somewhere. They had a family. They were dealing with financial problems. They were dealing with all kinds, health problems, other things, right? And so again, we can follow these examples. And I hope it's a blessing to you and encouragement. But read through them again if you have time. Read through these epistles. And you want a good blessing, take a book like 3 John, very short. It's 14 verses. And sit down at home and write your own commentary out of the book of 3 John. Write it out. What did verse 1 say? Write out what it says. What did it mean to me? How did it speak to me? You'd be surprised at what you'll get out of something like that. And seeing what God can do. Okay, I better stop there before my throat goes out on me here. All right. Thank you for coming tonight again. Continue to pray for those in need. And if you need anything, again, please don't hesitate to ask or contact us here at the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can to the best of our ability. And if you need anything, let us know, especially prayer or anything of that nature. All right? Okay, let's stop. Lord, thank you again for a time this evening to share your word and look at your word. What a joy and a privilege it is to see individuals. Great examples given to us. It's not an accident, Lord. You gave us that for a reason. Two men or two individuals that were extremely faithful. We see another person there, Lord, that was not, was a hindrance. Looked for the preeminence, looked for the popularity, looked to be something important, get his name up on the wall. And Lord, we just know that that does not please you. But Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our church, the humbled people here that just continue to serve without name or recognition, wanting to do things in secret so that they don't get any attention. And all glory goes to you. And I'm so thankful. But Lord, bless us. Guide us now. Again, Lord, guide us back here Sunday, if you'd allow it, and bless our time together. We love and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.